Can I cast Fireball if I can't talk?
No, that spell has a
verbal component.
Say sink. Kitchen sink. Alright, we're good. Was I supposed to be recording during that? I hope I was, because I am. Yeah. Okay. Good. I need clear directions, Evan. I'm like a small dog or like a lost child. I need to know where my parents are. In this metaphor, you are my parents.
I'm... We talked about in your stream the other day, or yesterday, I think, about how if I had a kid, I'd probably sit on it. Yeah, we did. We did indeed do that. All right, you want to start the episode? I'll do it. I forgot that we had an intro usually, so I'll do that. Give me a second.
What intro?
I'm sure this is all going in. I'm sure it is. All right, we'll go in three, two, one.
You fucking bitch. You throw off my timing. Recording with people that have ethics is like so crazy to come back to this. Is it wild? I think so. I think it is. Do I even do an intro at this point? No, fuck you. You're not going to stifle me. I'm doing it. 3, 2, 1.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to this week's episode of the Verbal Components Podcast.
2, 3.
I am your host, Matt, diagnosed Matt on the internet everywhere. I am joined
6,
by my friend.
9, 12.
At Gerald Jumper
15,
on Twitter.
30, 45,
who
90.
Counts to fuck up my intro every.
Solve the pattern.
I need the pattern solved. What do we doing, like a 7 thing? What's in the box? What's in the fucking box? We're gonna talk.
I don't think you can make a mathematical formula for the pattern I just had.
Are we gonna talk about any D&D on this episode or what?
We're back in the new year, timely fashion.
So Evan, let me ask you a question here, big dog. Okay, and answer it honestly. How did you like the last 2 months of episodes that we've released?
Oh, dude, they've all been so good. I've only been posting them on.
On what?
Yeah, all the episodes have been good, and I've only been posting them on MySpace, on our Verbal Components MySpace page. Nobody's been watching them, unfortunately.
If you're not following the Verbal Components MySpace page, you are a fucking fake fan. Get out of my face. I don't want to talk to any of you anymore. Don't even listen to us anymore, you little bitch. Is that our New Year's thing, where we're just going to come back and like be really mean to our audience?
I mean, were we ever kind to our audience?
Also, great follow-up question. Do we even have an audience anymore?
I'm not too happy, because we spent 2 full months dedicated to trying to grow our MySpace page after building up our Twitter, and now, like, we got nothing on MySpace, and then you post one thing on our Twitter, and it gets, like, fucking 30 comments. And,
to be honest with you, I literally can't believe we still don't have a MySpace page. Like, everyone was wondering why we took so much time off, and, like, honestly, like, we can be completely transparent with you guys, our audience that we love very much and would never lie to. Like, we've been spending the last 2 months trying to set up a MySpace page, and, like...
I mean, a lot of the time was spent trying to find MySpace. it was hard to actually find the URL and like navigate through the mountains and wastelands of.
Let's just get this out of the way right now. We got a lot of malware on our computer trying to find MySpace. Our computers are riddled with viruses.
Well, yeah,
right now.
See, by the time we got to MySpace, the malware had hacked in and erased all of the audio for the episode we recorded to put on MySpace, so
right,
then we
right.
recorded a few more.
Right, and they just didn't turn out the way we planned, because, like, honestly, I'd be halfway through recording, and then I'd get a pop-up that Big Titty MILFs want to hang out with me. And, to be honest with you, how do you focus after you see that on your second monitor?
I mean, yeah, I came too much to ever post anything on MySpace. So I guess
we
shouldn't be too surprised right. that we didn't get much of a MySpace following, because I don't think we ever posted anything to MySpace.
No, I think we just got the name. And then we did nothing with it.
Yeah.
Because of all the viruses we got on our computer. Does that sound fair?
Facebook next. We're on our way to Facebook.
We're gonna ruin Facebook next. But in all seriousness, we're back. I don't know how long this will last, but hopefully a while, because I like doing these.
Yeah, it's more like like, whenever we get into a pattern, it's like we do it, and then we took a specific break for Christmas, and then we didn't do it at all for, like, a month.
Yeah, we were like, we're gonna give ourselves a break to relax during Christmas, and that break lasted 2 full months. because we suck, and we hate ourselves, but that is the fun part about content creation, right? Is you learn to hate yourself through your content.
Well, and our audience, because we got our... You posted something today on the Twitter, and that's what this episode is going to be about. You can read it. You have it up, right?
Yeah, I got it. My one tweet from the account in fucking years. I tweeted out something because I was sitting here prepping for a new campaign that I'm going to be running with a brand new world and. And I'm sitting here
which
writing
I have
notes.
I've also been pouring hours of hours of time into.
For his character and stuff like that. So I was sitting here, I was typing notes, and I was like, am I ever gonna feel prepped ever in my entire life of existing? Am I ever gonna feel like I know enough? Excuse me. And so I posed that question to the lovely TTRPG world, and goddamn did that tweet pop the fuck off.
Well, it's funny, because about a month ago, like we took a huge break from D&D, pretty much. We ended our years-long campaign back in October, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, last month, like, I said some flippant shit. I was like, dude, why you gotta fucking prepare? Just, like, improv, whatever. We could just start playing, and you got mad.
Which is the reason last... Well, yeah, which is the reason last game sucked. I mean, like, to improv, but you need to have, like, the things that you need to have structured, they need to be structured before the game starts. You can't just make that shit up as you go. Like, you need to
which
have your main themes solid. And then everything else,
yeah.
You can never prep for what your players are going to do, but you need to have, like, the main themes of everything, like, layered out.
Yeah, because improv, you need shit to build off of and work on. Like, doing improv in, like a void is just, you know, just not going to end up very well. It's not going to have a cohesive feel. The world's not going to feel
too
real.
Yeah, it's going to feel stiff and gross and stupid. Like, improv with knowledge is good.
Because we've had a few months to work on it, it's like... It's just been slowly simmering. It seems like all the characters are getting more and more real. There's a lot of meat already. And like I feel confident about playing my character now. Like,
well,
already,
yeah, and when all that stuff is fleshed out before the campaign starts, it gives me confidence as a DM to take the stories and do them justice by you guys in my world. Like, that's the thing we didn't have in last campaign, was none of us were on the same page. So like I thought it was one way, and you thought of it another way, and Devin thought of it another way, and we never got that cohesive unit. Not that last campaign was bad,
yeah.
It was fucking amazing. We had so many
amazing
moments.
There were so many fantastic moments, and yeah, as with any D&D campaign that runs for years with people you love, there's gonna be fantastic moments.
Right, but like, for six people that went in not ever playing D&D ever at all, it turned out to be a fucking fantastic campaign, but... Since we didn't know what we were doing, there was obviously some giant holes in the world and in people's backstories that just needed to be fleshed out before we even started the game. So that's why I refuse to, like, rush anything. I'm not going to rush anything ever again.
Yeah.
I would rather just take my
time.
And,
you know, I knew that the other month. You know, like, I didn't think it was bad that we were taking the time. I just said some flippant shit and then, like, yeah.
Well, I get everyone is very excited.
We had a moderately real argument.
It wasn't even an argument. It was very much me voicing something that upset me and very much having an adult conversation about it.
Yeah, like, if you say some shit that just, like, upsets someone like that, because Matt felt a little, you know, it felt like I wasn't valuing the effort
right,
and time that
right.
you were putting into it, which was obviously never the intention, but... say some flippant shit, it's not always going to be reciprocated.
Right, but instead of letting it simmer, bringing it up and having a conversation about it, because, like, we're not going to get into an argument. Like, we're going to talk about whatever we have
to
talk about.
Yeah, like, we know each other too well to, like, stay mad.
Right.
So, like, and so that kind of thing, you just gotta bring it up. And the perennial every single episode could have this piece of advice in it and be fine is communicate.
Yes, I mean, we've talked about that on the podcast forever, is fucking communicate, because, like, to be honest with you, I'm never gonna feel fully prepped to start this campaign. Like, I could take the next 6 months writing and still not feel perfectly prepped for this campaign, because I just don't know what everyone's gonna do. But I can lock in those main themes and then work from there and feel confident enough in my writing abilities, in my improv abilities, to figure it out as I go, because you cannot attest to everything your players are gonna do. It just doesn't work.
And, you know, I think it's not incorrect saying that the opposite is true, where if you spend the next 6 months working on the campaign, you're going to end up with a book and not a D&D campaign.
Yes, that's also fair. That's also fair, because I've always been on the side of, like, I think railroading gets a bad rap, but I also think that, like, if you want to just read a book, like, just open a book and read it at the same time, like, you need to have the dice there to make those rolls so that you can, like, flow off of it, because that's how I've always been. Is like, I've always based D&D more like, I am rules oriented, but I'm like narrative oriented probably over everything, because I really like just the general collective story that we all build together. But like I said, if it's just gonna be all story, then just like read a book, in my opinion. That's just the way I feel about it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's more like write a book.
Write a story. Write your own story.
Because what I've been doing is, you know, I've been writing a lot. I like to write narratively when I'm making backstory. And just so many things and lines and so many points of character that I want to flesh out later. There's nothing to be done about it but to just kind of, like, write a little bit and then, like, let it go. Because I know it's going to be there. I know what I'm thinking of, and I don't need it to be a fucking book. Because I'm going to play.
No, because you don't need just like I don't need everything in my world fleshed out, you don't need everything in your level 3 character fleshed out either. Because guess what?
Yeah.
In theory, you have 17 more levels, and then the rest of your life to figure that out. What those mean to you. Like, that's what I always tell people, and like that's a big piece of advice that I have for people writing backstories, is write main themes and then build upon those main themes as you progress as a character in the game. And also give your DM juicy strings. So, like, don't have everything perfectly fleshed out to the point where, like, my dad is here, my mom is doing this currently, my sister's currently doing this, I'm currently doing... Like, give your DM some untied strings, because even if they come back to hurt you, it'll be good...
Abso-fucking-lutely.
It'll be good moments in the campaign where you're like, wait, she's... missing, or wait, she's hurt, or wait, she, you know, she's dead, or she's fine. Like, all these things have such big things in the campaign that if you tie those off with a neat little bow in your backstory, you won't get those, and you'll just be stagnant the whole campaign with nothing for me to pull on. That's basically like my biggest thing with when people are writing a backstory,
for sure. And
with like new players and stuff like that, I mean, like it just kind of takes trial and error, I think. And it also depends on, like, what table you're playing at as well. But, like, my biggest thing with new players is, like, give, whether it's good or bad, give your DM those strings and trust them enough that they will use them with the level of care that you've written them with. Because I think that's what it comes down to, is, like, a big level of trust. And we've talked about trust on this show so much. I'm sure Evan could talk about that for fucking hours. I'm sure we have in DMs for hours.
Absolutely. That's it. The strings. I don't need to write a book with this character. We're about to have a collective, you know,
book
narrative
session.
Journey with these characters. I don't need to write the whole book. But I've written little, you know, maybe vignettes or little snippets of things that happen, you know? There doesn't need to be a Wikipedia page that's your backstory.
No.
You got to know how you're going to play it. You know, like what their personality is, what they like, what they don't like. And you kind of need some sort of goal or driving force behind your character.
Yes.
And that's what a backstory should do.
Love
it. It should take your character from childhood. And you just got to know what brought your character to the point they're at when you're starting to play them.
And, like, to be honest with you, like, when
And then they'll become something else when you're playing.
Agreed. Could not agreed more. And like, the thing that I'm... Like I said, I haven't written a lot of serious characters. I mean, I think I've only played serious characters in Kai's 2 campaigns. So I played Jack and Lanu, who I haven't played in a while now. But the way that I do character creation, I take one shred of me, one slice of Matt, put it in there, and then I build the story from that, and I talk about, you know... And I just leave things open for interpretation. Like, I'll talk about people in my backstory and events in my backstory and, like, connections and morals and values. Everything that the DM wants to give me positive or negative as the story goes on. Like, I'll give them, like, I have a really, like, big heart for, you know, children, abandoned children, or something along those lines of children. And then, of course, the DM sees that, takes that, puts it in the story, and then one day we're fighting a wyvern, like a group of wyverns, and there's a kid about to get swiped up. Who do I go and save? Do I go and save Evan's character, or do I go and save this kid that is obviously going to be hurt by this wyvern? That's the shit that's juicy, dude. Layer that's shit with backstory. Shit with that.
That's such a good thing. Jesus Christ!
Someone calling you?
Hold on.
Hey.
I can cut this out.
Hey. And, like, yeah, when you're writing a backstory kind of like that, you definitely want to leave those sort of, like, thicky strings out there, because I think it really gives those, like, types of things for your DM, if they're good, to weave them in, just like the sort of the child scenario that I just had touched on.
Yeah, absolutely. When you have... Like, think of how you make decisions in real life.
Yeah, true, true.
Every decision you make is informed by an idea or an opinion or a value you hold. As long as you have those, like, certain things you can work off of in your backstory, that's all you need. You don't really need to know everything, but yeah. It's better if you have a backstory that, like Matt said, can have juicy things that could be drawn from, like little bits and
little nuggets.
Like, maybe there's a villain or something that's like mysterious. You don't know what they're doing or who they are or why, but they did something to you. Just let the DM handle that. Or if there's someone specific
that you care for,
yeah, and then you write more about them. You know more about their personality, what they do, but you don't need to know everything. Yeah. That kind
of
shit.
And I sort of did that with Jack, with his family, and I sort of did tie that off, but I tied it off in a way that worked with the character and allowed Kai to still draw upon them, because I played a Whisper Bard, and basically everything, every bit of his power that he channeled was from his sisters and mother that were killed by his father in his backstory, mm-hmm. because he was a tiefling. God, I missed that character. I almost just cried right there. What's up? It's that type shit. Like, he played with that so much throughout the campaign. It was so much goddamn fun.
And yeah, that's the thing. Like you said, there's a piece of you. Like, imagine that your character's a pie. There's a big slice that's you. And that's where a lot of the more emotional and informed decisions might come from, that you can make a little more confidently. And then the rest of the pie is what you might wish you were. Or just something that you want to explore about yourself. Maybe it's not exactly like, ooh, I wish I could be this person. But it's, as long as there's, like, a good portion of the character that interests you and makes you want to explore and have a good time, or at least an interesting time being them, then that's kind of all you need.
Yeah, and put something in them that attaches you to them. Because it makes decision-making easier. Because, like, I know... Sometimes when you're playing a character, it is hard to sort of, like, and again, I think we've talked about this a billion times on the pod, but, like, the whole, like, it's what my character would do to justify a shitty decision that, like, makes the table angry, I don't like. But also, like, that statement of, I'm doing this because it's what my character would do, I think embracing that in its full extent is important, because although you do love and care for this character, such as I lost a one-shot, we can't even call that campaign a one-shot. It's like a mini-shot campaign that we're doing in between our main campaign with one of our best friends. So I made a character, and he died. I knew we were going to be in this lockdown shit for a while. I just knew we were. And I made a decision with him that Matt really didn't want to make. But I knew that in the moment that he would try to protect this person. And it ended up killing him. And that was tough deal with. Well, it was you, but you were unconscious. That's who I wanted to protect. Yeah. And so I took the reaction, attack of opportunity, and ended up dying for it. And as much as that sucks, I wish I was still playing that character. It's absolutely what he would have done. And if I had run away to try to get a more advantageous position, that would have been Matt playing. that wouldn't have been Jorik playing. That would have been Matt for sure playing. 100%. Jorik's big beefy ass would have just ran up to this fucking thing and stepped in front of the unconscious body and protected it. And that's what he did. It ended up killing him, but I mean, it's that is what it is.
Yeah, and I've done that a lot. Yeah, it's
except it worked out for Julian, you little fuck.
Well, yeah, it's funny, because I like to think that that's something I could do in real life, like, throw my life on the line for things that I care about.
Right.
You know? I don't know if I can in real life, it's never really come up, but you have to play the character as though they actually care about things, and have, and if they're courageous.
Their own morals and values.
And have, yeah, if they hold certain things to be more important than what they would probably value their life, you know, things that are worth protecting, then yeah, they should risk their life and possibly die.
I agree with that. And like, I think that what helped was that was the sliver I built Jorik off of. So to be honest with you, as much as it was a hard decision, it didn't feel like I was betraying Matt, because that's what the character was. Like, I built him to be that heroic protector, that sliver of me that I wanted to re-look at. And that was so important to me that I could not make the smart decision, which was to run away and probably Eldritch Blast the thing and then try to kill it before it killed you. I had to step in front of your character. I had to, because you were unconscious. And that's what Jorik and that's what Matt would have done in that sliver of me that I was playing in the character. And it sucks, the outcome. The outcome sucks, man. I still think about him.
And the reason that we still think about him is because you played him like that. That's as simple as that.
And like you said, it made for a good, like, storyline with everyone. With, like, you guys picking up his weapon and, like, him being mentioned. And me with my new character, I took a very different sliver of myself when I picked up a new character in this campaign.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah, a very different sliver of myself.
You saved me, and now I might get to kill your next character.
Yeah, so. That's fine.
Yeah.
You think I'm not already plotting, you little bitch? I'm 18 steps ahead
of
everyone.
I only, like, halfway through that scenario did I realize you had actually turned on us. So we got that. We got that coming up.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting on Thursday, to say the least. But yeah, just play them the way that you know them to be. Don't play them to win Dungeons & Dragons. Just like I will always tell people, don't roll to win Dungeons & Dragons. And again, I guess this is my own personal opinion. It's not the way to do it. It doesn't seem fun to me to try to win it like it's a competitive video game. It's just not. It's like a very much a bonding therapeutic space for your friends to, like, have fun.
Fuck all of that. Do you ever feel truly prepped for a new campaign? The tweet.
The answer is no.
The answer is unequivocally no. So it's funny.
We can't read all of these. We there's so many.
Yeah, like, going through, there's a shitload.
Let's do a couple, and we'll shout them out.
There's a few fucking smug bastards that are like, yes, I am prepared every week. I do, like, 6 hours of prep. Yep. Dab, I am always prepared. Fuck you, at OSK Peter. Yes, period, always.
Oh my god. No, we're
Peter,
joking. We're joking. jokes. But one of my favorites from Dice Populi, at Dice Populi on Twitter, it goes, yep, until the characters actually start doing things, and then it's, oh, okay, I guess we're going to focus this session on finding a lone goblin family. Cool. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I'm sure you prepared for that, Peter.
Oh, I actually like this
you
one. It's
fuck.
It's pretty good. I like this one. It's at David DeSwan on Twitter. It's, I found that a nice drink, coffee, water, tea, etc. in your hand and a good night's sleep are more important than actual prep I could do. Especially since the hardest things for me are dialogue and scene description, reducing the stress makes it easier to improv. That is a wonderful answer that I actually really like and has a lot of thought put into it. Thank you, David.
Yeah, there's a few gifts. A good one is nope, and it works out anyway, from Heather at MamaDragon20.
What is this one's good? It's from at Fury and Princess 7 Victoria. They say, you never know what your players are going to throw at you. I like keeping them on their toes as a DM. That's fair.
This person doesn't know what prepped means.
Yeah, I like that one. Funny. At Oberon of Life responded with a gif of an older white gentleman that said, "That is a big no from me." I like that one. Because me neither. Never. That's a good one.
At Scroll for Initiative, or whatever, Scroll for Initiative. To paraphrase Andrew Motion on poetry,
I like that
DM's
one.
Prep is never finished. Yeah, it is, I like that one. Merely abandoned.
Oh, let's do this one. At @D_MDave, DM Dave. Nope, there is always more to create, and then you have a group that continuously throws you curveballs. I'm just thankful they don't have wizard with teleportation yet. And I replied, "Oh, just you wait. It's a lovely little wrench in all your plans," because it is.
So yeah, you got. Yeah, almost universally, no. But there's some of the yeses that are like, yeah, I have certain things that I prepare, which is also correct.
It is good. Yeah, you want to be
they know what they need.
Fully prep, yeah.
You know.
Half prep, at least. Oh, Natural One Craft says, my pages upon pages of notes says yes, but my anxiety says no. I like that one. That's a good one.
And then we have...
But my favorite of all responses comes from our boy, my old roommate in undergrad, my DM,
at linearly bingo,
that just simply says, no. It's so good. But yeah, this episode actually didn't go off the rails. We actually talked about some really good things. But I think we're going to end it there. Thank you, Gerald Jumper, for the lovely conversation, as always.
Yes, yes. Fuck you, Peter. @OSKPeter, you smug bastard.
If you're just now listening to our content, I appreciate you, Peter, to go back and look at the rest of our stuff, because we don't mean it. We do, but we don't. We do, but we don't. But with that, everyone, I think we're going to call it there. Thank you guys so much for being patient with us. We've had a lot going on, actually. I know we joked at the beginning, but we've actually had a lot to manage. So thank you guys so much for being patient. I hope you guys enjoy the episode back. A lot is in the works right now. I have a lot of VA stuff going on. Evan's doing a lot of editing stuff, so we've been doing a lot of cool projects on the side. So we appreciate you guys hanging out. If you guys are just finding this podcast out of nowhere and you want to follow us, it's @PodcastVC on Twitter. It's the same icon as our Spotify or wherever you're listening to us is, so you'll see the actual profile image. It's @PodcastVC on Twitter. If you want to follow me and all my stuff I have going on, I do voice acting, Twitch stuff, YouTube, all that jazz. It's @DiagnosedMatt on Twitter. All my Linktree stuff is right there. Evan, do you have anything you need to shout out right now?
Shout out to @OSKPeter. He's not that bad. I'm sure he's a good guy. I'm sure I'd love to play in one of his games.
Invite us on your show is basically what we're saying.
Bring us to the show. Yeah.
We will talk to you guys hopefully this coming week. you never know with us. But thank you guys so much. Still, just as it was 2 months ago, please remember to be nice to everyone. Please remember to stay inside and wash your hands. And things are going to get crazy in the next couple weeks, but please remember to be kind to everyone around you. We will see you guys next week. And thank you guys for listening. Goodbye.